If you're here for the first time, my name is Chris. I'm an outreach minister here at Big Life Community Church. And we're happy you found your way here, however that was. Because there's three things that we truly believe in this church, and we talk about it every week because this is what we stand on. This church exists to share Jesus with people. That's it, plain and simple. That's why we're here. We're here to share Jesus. We believe everybody is welcome, no matter your past, your present, whatever walk of life you came from. I grew up in a Catholic church. My wife grew up in a Lutheran church. Whatever has brought you here today, you are welcome here. And we believe strongly that God deserves better. I believe it so much, I tattooed it on my arm and I look at it every morning. Everything we do is a step closer to God every day. So we just try to give Him better every day. If you're here for the first time, you'll find a white connection card on the seats around you. If you could fill that out and just drop it in the offering baskets later on as they go around, it lets us know that you were here, lets us get some information about who we are and what we believe to you. We're not going to come pound on your door, I promise. But we just want to get some more information to you and hope that Big Life is a good fit for you. Also, if you would have told me 5 years ago that I'd be in a church, much less a part of a leadership team at a church, and watching my 12-year-old son sing worship songs, I would have thought you were crazy. My life changed because a person prayed for me and my wife. And you'll never know the seeds that you could plant to lead someone to Jesus, whether it's at Big Life Community Church or one of the other great churches in the area. If you could check in on Facebook, just let your friends know that you were at church this morning. You never know who could be struggling right now with pain in their lives that really needs Jesus. And it might be that seed that gets planted that helps somebody make that decision. Got a few announcements this morning. The first one I'm really excited about. At Inc. 180, we do a lot of work with human trafficking, dating violence, domestic violence. And I have three kids. And I don't know, if you have kids, social media probably scares the heck out of you, like it does me. And there's a huge tie-in between social media and the risks that both young people and adults put themselves in by what they put on social media. So today at the shop, right down the street here, 3 o'clock, we're actually holding our first social media safety class for teens and even younger and their parents to come and talk about what we see and maybe some tips to help keep people safe. So we would love for you to join us. It's a free event. It's the first of many. I think we're gonna do this pretty much every month. We're gonna offer it to the community. So if you wanna come out, we could give you some more information after service. I'd love to talk to you about it. Next weekend, Super Bowl. Any Packer fans brave enough to raise their hands? I'm sorry, brother, we'll pray for y'all. That was tough. As a Bears fan, I felt your pain. That was tough. But we're gonna have a tailgate party. Dean's gonna make a whole bunch of wings. And if you guys have never had any of Dean's cooking, you're missing out. I really would urge you, come next Sunday in between services, bring a side dish to share. We're gonna have some great food, some great fun. I'll be wearing our Seattle jerseys. Russell Wilson. This is some good, this guy, I know, sorry. He's a Christian, it's all good. He thanked God for winning. How can you hate that? Here's some other good news. Remember, was it a month and a half, 2 months ago? We raffled off a smart TV. Remember that? Okay. Bad news for the guy that won it. We can't get a hold of him. He came one time and didn't write his phone number on the thing. So we're going to redraw a winner next Sunday in between services. So join us for that as well. Next one. Now this is one, I'm gonna invite Wendy to come up and really talk about this, but I would urge you all to come to this event. It's an amazing movie. I'm gonna let Wendy talk about it. We're gonna be there speaking as well as Reclaim 13, but this is an amazing thing if you wanna learn more about human trafficking and how it happens all around us.
Thank you. I'm really excited about this. My work with Eve's Angels, you don't really often get to hear about anything I do. I can't really share the stories because I don't like to exploit the girls or the women and what they've been through. So this movie that was made, it was wonderfully made, and it really depicts real life actual events that happened to different girls that found themselves stuck in sex trafficking. One of the girls was a 16-year-old girl just out of high school, just like Oswego or Naperville or Plainfield, that found herself stuck in this world for 8 days. And what she went through for those 8 days, it's really powerful, it's really moving, and it's a great educational tool. So I'm very excited to bring this out to the Naperville Theater so that everybody can get it and be aware. If you have high school age kids, I strongly recommend you take them. I was lucky enough to go to one last month, and I took my daughter, and I'm so glad that she was there to see it. It could have easily been her. And it is in our area, whether we want to admit it or not, it really is here. So please, we have flyers afterwards. You can grab one. All of the ticket proceeds do benefit Reclaim 13, who's opening up their Cherish House this spring, that will house underage sex trafficking victims. That's something that's very needed. There's very little organizations around here that are doing that. Chris will also be there to represent Inc. 180 and speak about them. So it's going to be a great night of education and awareness. And we do need your help. We need to sell 80 tickets by February 10th to make this happen. So all of you guys, get online, reserve your tickets, share with your family and friends, anybody you know that has high school age children, and even just anybody that would like to maybe get involved with Cherish House or Inc. 180. It would be great to have them come out. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. If we need to sell 80 tickets, we should be able to do that, most of that through our church, don't you think so? I think that you will be glad if you were there. We will be there in full force, so hope that you can do that on the 24th. I don't know about you, but I love when worship hits a point where as long as my microphone is off, I feel comfortable just singing as absolutely as loud as I can because I know that God hears it and God smiles. And so when we sang those two songs there, where we hear all the different voices in our band, I just loved that. I didn't sing over them, but I love hearing people and their courage and their faith getting up there to sing. And then the second song that we sang, the Amen over and over, man, if you don't feel the presence of God with that, I can't do a whole lot for you. Your heart is like colder than, you know, Lake Michigan. That was a beautiful moment, and that is why we are here, to be drawn closer to God a little bit more and a little bit more each week. We are in the sermon series called The God I Wish You Knew. I love this title that Bill Hybels came up with because more often than not, when somebody tells me they don't believe in God or they have a hard time believing in God, I ask them what kind of God it is they don't believe in. And I come to quickly realize that I don't believe in that God either. But what I wanted to share with you from the bottom of my heart is the God that I wish you knew. What we're going to talk about today is the issue that is perhaps the most universal and applicable to each and every one of us. I know that sometimes when I talk about an issue, it hits a slice of the church, but not everybody. This will hit everybody. The problem of pain. Anyone here ever had suffering in their life? Unexpected loss in their life? Issues of despair that you didn't ask for, or dumb things you did that gave you a lot more consequence than you thought you deserved? Anybody here struggle with the issue of pain in their life? Well, the God I wish you knew uses your pain to draw you closer to Him. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, on this cold day, where the snow that is wet hits the ground, there are so many reasons why we might not have come this morning. Maybe we come and we volunteer most weeks and we thought, well, they'll be fine today without me. Or maybe we came for the first time and we thought, why in the world am I doing this? Most of us are probably somewhere in between. But God, you know why we're here. And you know what it is that you want to say to us. So God, what I pray for each person that had the faith and the courage to be here today, is that they would hear your word for them. on the issue of pain, suffering, and loss. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had a carload of late elementary age boys. We were on our way to football practice, and I coached their team and I ran the carpool that day, which meant that my car smelled like prepubescent sweat and had the pads to prove it, and there were empty Gatorade bottles all over my back seat. And so as we pulled up for practice and opened up the doors, all the boys started piling out and grabbing their gear and all their stuff, and I started to make my way up towards the practice field. And as I got 10 or 15 steps up, I heard the door slam. And I heard a grunt as the door slammed. And I turned around and I saw a boy on our team, actually a boy from our church, whose hand had been slammed. And the door had caught it, and he could not get it out. So if we're going to talk about the topic of pain, let's just start with a door slamming on your hand. And as I turned around and saw this 10, 12-year-old boy standing there, he had this hand stuck in the door. But he's tough. He plays football. His dad played football. So he doesn't start to cry. But his eyes are focused with fury. And he's trying to get his hand out. And I make my way up there quickly. And I open the door and he pulls his hand out. And I forgot to add this part at the early service. It's not broken. There's no bleeding. And I looked at it, and he turned and grabbed his helmet and shoulder pads, and he took about 5 or 10 steps, and he lost it. I mean, he lost it. He started to cry. He started to bawl. He got down on his knees and cried. He didn't care that he needed his mama. He didn't care that he wanted his binky. He was crying right there, and it kept going. It went for 5 minutes and 10 minutes, and it went the whole length of the practice. In that snapshot, I saw what almost all of us do when pain is visited upon us. He did one of two things. The first thing he did was pretend like nothing happened. You know, sometimes we have a stick our head in the sand strategy when it comes to pain. I had the door slammed on my hand. How are you doing? I'm fine. Thanks for asking. What about you? We can have the most tragic things happen to us. We can have marriages fall apart. We can have loved ones die. We can lose our job and not get another interview. But we pretend like all is well in Mayberry. But then you can swing the pendulum the other way. Sometimes we neglect it. And sometimes we never get over it. We can have a 5 minute worth of cry that we turn into 2 hours worth of cry. We can have a 1 week worth of loss that we turn into a lifetime worth of loss. We can have a difficult situation that should be bracketed by this much grief, and we say, I don't think I'll ever get over this. Pain often elicits one of two responses from us. We ignore it, or we keep relitigating it. Anybody here been there? We're all guilty of it, and we definitely all know somebody that's guilty of it. One of the things I found is when somebody makes their way to worship, often for the first time, they are not pushed in the door by, oh my gosh, that minister is so good looking. That's not what it is. It is often, I know you guys act like that's a surprise, but pain. Often it is pain. It is a loss that sometimes people will, 30 seconds in the door for the first time, they'll tell me, I'm here today because of X, Y, and Z. And it's a long list of what's gone wrong in their life. And it's a good reason to be in worship. But other times, I can know someone for 3 months or sometimes 3 years. And then finally, after that, they'll have the courage to admit what it was that's been going on in their life that they can barely put words to. Even though we go one of those two directions, God offers us something different. Because pain is not something to be ignored, and pain is not something that we wallow in for a lifetime. But I have found in God's Word that pain is so often a pathway to faith. So often, pain is a pathway to faith. And while sometimes we want to neglect it, and sometimes we want to advertise our suffering, God says, if you will give me your pain, watch what I can do with it. We see a story of someone that shares their pain in the book of John. If you have a Bible with you, I want you to see about how Jesus shares his pain. And in that launches the church. By the time you get to the 20th chapter in John, what we've had happen is all the things you maybe learned in Sunday school or catechism or Christian education. Jesus has walked on water. Jesus has raised the dead. Jesus has taught the good commandments and the parables and the teachings and the Sermon on the Mountain. Jesus has been crucified. Jesus is dead. And Jesus is alive. And so by the time you get to the 20th chapter of John, Mary has seen Jesus alive. Peter and John have seen Jesus alive. But there's one guy that says, I don't believe any of it. You all know his name? Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. And so we get to the 20th chapter and we see what happens and how it is that Jesus leads Thomas to trust him. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, which means a twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. They haven't seen that Jesus is alive. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Have you ever said or had said to you, I need proof before I believe something? Well, you are in good company. One of the 12 disciples said the same thing that many people say. He says, I got to see this to believe this. And I just don't want to see him from a distance. I want to see where they put a nail in his hand. I want to see where they put a spear in his side. If I can't touch the scars, I do not believe it. Reading on. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Thomas says, I want to believe. Thomas says, I won't believe unless I have proof. I love that Thomas believes only after he sees the scars and the pain of Jesus. I love that when Jesus wants to rally up his disciples to start a church which we eventually ended up belonging to, what he began with was showing people the scars of the worst thing he had been through. And Thomas reaches out and he touches nail-scarred hands and he reaches into the pierced side. And look at what he says here. My Lord and my God. Little note here for those of you that like to read the Bible. The first time Jesus is referred to as God by someone else is only when Thomas sees Jesus' scars. Only when pain is put at the center of why they believe does Thomas have the courage to believe the capstone of the Christian faith, which is if you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. Folks, I love that. I love that because the God that I wish you knew builds his faith and builds his people and builds his church around folks that are honest enough to show their pain to other people. Thomas begins to believe in Jesus when Jesus says, here is how I have been hurt. And when he shows how he's been hurt, it is a pathway to pain. I mean, that pain is a pathway to faith. For Thomas. You see, the God that I wish you knew can use your pain to lead you to deeper faith. The God that I wish you knew looks at your pain not as a reason to dismiss your faith, but as something to build your faith on. The God that I wish you knew wants us to have the faith that Jesus had, which says, here is where I was hurt, and look what God did with it. Now, we all know somebody that went through pain and tragedy in their life, and it became a reason to not believe, don't we? And sometimes I hear what people have been through, and I can't even argue with them. You know, they talk about a spouse that walked out on them, or the burying of a child, or a parent that was so bad to them. And sometimes I don't even have good words. But I also know this, that the people I want to be like the most have often been through the worst and are stronger in their faith for it. The people I find myself looking up to have been through suffering, and they know pain, and God used it to draw it closer, and they allowed God to use it to draw them closer. So for all of you that hurt, and for all of us that suffer and have the scars of life to show it, this is what I beg of you. Don't waste it. Let it be something that God uses to draw Him closer to you. I was a little kid and we were staying with my grandparents in Kentucky. My grandpa Pete, we called him Pete Daddy. He was 41 years old when my dad was born, so he was 80 by the time we were little kids. And Pete Daddy was the kind of guy that he had been a mechanic all his life, and he'd never met junk that he didn't have a reason to keep. And they had no garage, and they lived in this tiny little house. So everything that would stereotypically go in kind of the mechanic's garage, they put in the basement. He had like 100 fishing poles. He'd use 3 of them. He had 1,000 fishing hooks. He'd use 6 of them. If you left stuff out on the curb, he would pull over in order to get it. Root through it. One man's trash, another man's treasure. American pickers would walk through Pete's basement in my mind and look at it and say, no thank you, there's nothing here worth keeping. One hot summer night, my brother and I were sleeping downstairs at Pete Daddy's house. And it was hot. It was hot in that basement. And so in the little corner of the basement that we were supposed to be sleeping at, we went upstairs and said, Pete Daddy, will you help us out? It's so hot down here. So Pete Daddy came downstairs. He went into one dark corner of the basement where we're not quite sure what was in there. We were surprised he came back, actually. And he came out with a motor about this size. And it had these electrical wires hanging from them that were clearly not union approved. And he grabbed some duct tape and started to work with those wires. And a few minutes later, he walked into the other corner of the basement. And he came back with a little fan. And he grabbed some wires, and he grabbed some screws, and he made that motor fit with that fan, and he taped some wires together, and the kind of thing that would break fire code just by looking at it. And he plugged it into the wall, and he hung it above us, and it started to work. And after about 30 seconds, that basement where we were sleeping started to cool down a little bit. We asked him what it was. Well, back in 67, there was a Coke machine at the filling station where I worked. And they were going to throw it out. So I thought, I better not waste that. So I just took it home and thought I'd keep it for spare parts for a used Coke machine. What kind of man needs spare parts for a used Coke machine? My grandpa. What he proved to me that day is that what everybody else wants to let go of, there's no need to throw out. There's no need to waste. Because there's a use for it bigger than you can imagine. What I beg of you this day is that you do not waste your pain. What I beg of you this day is that you do not waste your suffering. I hope that you will realize the same way that my grandpa did, that there is a use and a purpose for things that everybody else tells you there is no use or there is no purpose for. And so when you think about the loss and the suffering and the pain that you have been through, the scars that you could show people quickly, I hope that you would move past the false dichotomy that we buy into, that you ignore it or you dwell on it forever, but that you would find that path where God says, give me your pain and watch what I can do in your life if you would but offer it to me. The God that I wish you knew is leaning forward right now, wanting to hear from you, wanting to work with your scar, wanting to see where you have been pierced in life so that he can begin to do something with it. I grew up in Iowa, and when we were little kids, we used to collect pop cans. I think they do the same thing in Michigan. You know what you can do with pop cans in Iowa and Michigan? You can get 5 cents for them. And so we would collect pop cans all summer in the belief that we were going to like be able to buy a new car or like something like that with our pop cans. But we would go in with trash bag fulls of Mountain Dew and Hee-Haw and all of that stuff and bring it in, and they'd get 5 cents for it. We would bring them what was perceived as trash, and they would hand us something valuable. For all of you that are under the age of 20, it is still really cool when $8 shows up in your hand and you should be grateful for it. That's what happened to us taking hot pop cans back to Hy-Vee. I hope whatever it is you've collected in the pain of your life, that you would realize that there is a powerful redemption in giving that to God and seeing what it is that he can offer back to you. If you would give him your pain, he will give you strength. If you will give him your loss, he will show you a new future. If you will give him your suffering, he will give you the faith to not to avoid the suffering often, but to keep standing through it and become stronger for it. Redemption is as simple as handing God what you don't think is worth much and watching what it is that he can give you back. I want to encourage you to learn a Bible verse this week. 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. The first part I absolutely love. And if you can commit one verse to memory this month, let it be this. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Look at what Paul assumes in this text. You're going to hurt. You're going to suffer. Nowhere in the Bible does it say if you love God, no bad things will ever happen to you. But what Paul does say is, you will be pressed, but you won't be crushed. You'll be perplexed, but you won't be in despair. You will be persecuted, but you will not be alone. And you will even be struck down, but you will not be destroyed. For those of you that like to read, I want to suggest the book, The Road Less Traveled. Opening sentence of that book has the potential to change your life. I love it. I'm trying not to do hyperbole there, but I love this book. He begins with this. Life is difficult. But once you accept that life is difficult, it's not so difficult anymore. And I think for most of us, we don't want to read this text. We don't want to admit that we are hard-pressed, and that we are perplexed, and that we are struck down. But Paul says, if we own up to our pain, we will realize that in the end we are not destroyed. Look at the second sentence. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. You cannot know resurrection without death. You cannot know life without suffering. And Paul pairs together here the suffering of Jesus and the victory of Jesus. They cannot be extracted. They go together. And for those of you that are longing to go deeper in your faith and want to move beyond where you are right now, it begins by letting the death of Jesus, the scars of Jesus, the suffering of Jesus rest into your life, and you show that you have suffering as well. And in that, you join him in his resurrection. So I want to ask you a very nosy question to close our message today. I hope that this bothers you all week. What unredeemed pain do you need to give to God? What unredeemed pain do you need to give to God? What have you been carrying around for a long, long time? What have you been ignoring? What have you been advertising? What have you wallowed around in? What pain? And I don't mean to be flippant about our pain. Our pain is awful. Our pain is real. I hear the stories of your loss and your struggle, and I grieve with you. But I also know that if we only rest in our grief and not rest in God, we will miss on the life that God has for us. So what unredeemed pain do you need to give to God? It doesn't mean you'll understand why it happened. Many things we don't understand and won't. But it does mean that we need to hand it to God and let it be a pathway to a deepening of our faith. I also want to give you a public opportunity to answer that question this morning. In just a moment here, we're going to receive communion. And as we do every few months, we will offer an opportunity in the back to be prayed for. We'll have a handful of folks dispersed around in the back. And if you would like to just have the courage to voice that out loud of what pain you've been through that you want to give to God, you will have a safe and private place and be able to just admit what that is and let someone offer God's blessing and encouragement to you in prayer. And I want to encourage you to take that step if you want to this morning, if you need to, and many of us I know do. But if we would come and get real with this question, we would both find a way to move on from what happened to us and find that God has been there the whole time, ready to lead us through it. The one thing we all have in common is that we have scars. And I love that we worship a Lord who says, I will build my church around the pain of what happened, because resurrection in the end is ultimately the answer. Let's pray together. Lord, we lean into this uncomfortable truth that there is pain that we have never processed, that we have never shared, that we have never asked you to work through in us and lead us out of. And oh God, when we do that, we leave your blessings on the table, we leave your strength on the table, and we do not enjoy the full benefits of what it means to trust in the crucifixion and resurrection and join in Jesus in that. So what I pray for this morning, God, is that each person in this room would know that you are a God who uses our pain as a pathway to faith. Many times our pain is mere tragedy. Many times our pain is self-imposed. But how it happened, God, is not as important as what we do now. And so we trust you, Lord, that you are waiting for us right here in this space. Begin the process of resurrection. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.